Hallelujah. Let me clap on that one, all right? Amen. That was nice. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning. We just thank you for your goodness. Thank you for last night and just how you showing yourself so strong. And this morning, just with the testimonies, the young ladies, Sharon and Drew and friends, we just thank you just to be a witness to what you're doing. And Lord, we just give you this service. I pray you just anoint me, just speak words of the Spirit, and that each heart would be open to receive of the Spirit. So we just pray you'd be our teacher in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to start off this morning and look at Acts chapter 20, verse 26 through 27. Acts 20, 26 through 27. It says this, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all, for I did not shrink from declaring the whole counsel of God." Now, I've actually preached on this in a different setting for a different purpose, but I want to look at this morning more as a very fundamental approach. And we're going to talk about two is the focus is going to be on, as it says, shine and be innocent is the title, shine and be innocent. And it's the high idea of shining to the people around us, people outside the church, people that don't have a church home. So it's certainly we appreciate if you shine in the church, but we just assume you are. But this is really kind of a focus outward. And that's where we're going to touch on, because when you see the admonitions from the Lord and the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's to touch the people in the world for the kingdom of God to spread. And so we're going to look at that and see what the Lord has to tell us here. And so when you look at this, what the Bible tells us is we all have an assignment. We have an assignment from God. And the assignment from God is stated here where the Apostle Paul is talking about his ministry, where he is specifically called, is to declare the whole counsel of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you go to seminary and memorize the Bible and you got it. You know, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fundamental principles that you declare the whole counsel of God that's necessary to have a relationship. Now, I have to bring up our little revelation of our own, our wagon. I love this wagon. And what's nice about this wagon, because in a very fundamental way, this wagon represents the whole counsel of God. And I mean enough that we can embrace it, we have a relationship with God, and we have a capacity to share. Now, we have lots and lots of stuff we can learn. We learn every day, but we learn from the Scriptures. But the fundamental full counsel of God, that what God's going to hold us accountable for, is represented here. And again, we'll go through it. Is that if you're in the wagon, there are 3 points. The wagon, the bed, the wheels, and the linchpin. In this case, it's hubcap. So we'll call it linchpin that holds the wheel on. Okay, and the bed is you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You believe that you are forgiven. You accept Him as your Savior. You are forgiven. You're in the wagon. I always use the question, if you were to stand, and think about this as I ask it, say, if you were to stand before the Lord right now, and the Lord would say, "Why should I let you into heaven?" What would you answer? Now, your answer dictates your theology. So if God was saying, "Why should I let you into heaven?" And your answer is this, "I'm forgiven." That's it. That's it. It's no other answer. And if you say something else, it dictates an error in your philosophy. So just let you know. And if you ask that question, you're not to be judgmental. But it tells you what people are depending on. So when we're standing before the Lord, why should I let you have? I'm forgiven. Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. You're in the wagon. It's good. Amen? Hallelujah. It's wonderful being in the wagon. However, the Bible says that there's something else that we should do, and He really holds us accountable for that. And He tells us, this wagon has wheels on it. You're supposed to have wheels on your wagon, okay? There's a lot of Christianity with no wheels on their wagon, okay? You can tell, because the people are sweating and pulling them around, they're doing nothing, and they're just happy in their wagon. All right. They're going no place. We used the example a few weeks ago. It's like having a Lexus and you have, leather seats and you have a GPS and you have the videos in the back. And you have the kids watching the video and you're coming in, you're honking the horn, racing the motor, but it's on blocks. It's on blocks. Ain't going no place. See? It's a wagon without the wheels. That's church without the Holy Spirit. It's a church without the Holy Spirit. Come and look at our bells and whistles. We ain't moving no place. But come and look at the bells and whistles. See? So we believe that the wagon and part of the full counsel of God, it's intricate to that, is the Holy Spirit. The wheels represent the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the rules. If you're led by the Spirit, you don't need the rules and the law, which is what religion teaches. So, we believe in the Holy Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And the Bible also says that what holds these wheels on is a linchpin that sticks in. And this linchpin is freedom. Freedom. And the freedom is, I can do anything I want to. You say, well, that can't be right. No, that's what the Bible says. You know what Paul said? Paul, who said this verse, he goes, everything's permissible for me. You go, Paul, come on. No, he said, everything is permissible for me. That's freedom. That's freedom. Now, if you say everything's not permissible, that means you're under this rule. And that's the law. And the wheels fall off. Wheels fall off. Religion is Christianity where the wheels have fallen off. Now, we're free to do anything we want to. That's the linchpin of freedom. And that linchpin of freedom holds these wheels on. But this wheels, the Holy Spirit, is working from within, guiding and directing us so that we will behave like Jesus, which exceeds all the law and the regulations. Amen? There we go. Now, we had preached a whole sermon on that. So this is just recap. Just how we're going to talk about it. But this is right here is the full counsel of God. It's the full counsel of God. Our relationship with Him, our power here, and the freedom to live out the Christian life. Hallelujah. So what we have here, just to capitalize, this is the full counsel. So when we talk about this, to be free of the blood of all is to be able to give someone the wagon. Give someone the wagon. So when I talk about this and I share that give them the wagon or be free, innocent, to be innocent of the blood of everyone, that means we give them the wagon. All right? Oh, there's lots of stuff to learn. There's lots of stuff. I it was a year ago, and I had it up. I preached over 650 messages. So I got a lot of stuff to say. I really do. So if they want to come and learn, there's lots of stuff. But the full counsel of God is the wagon. It's the full counsel of God. To have a relationship with God, home in heaven, it's the wagon. And learn, and we want to learn and grow in every situation in the power of God. But that's the full counsel of God. And therefore, if we want to be innocent of everyone's blood, we need to share the wagon. Need to share the wagon. And by the way, that means that every single Christian can share it. And I just have to do this. And this is really important, I think. Because every Christian can share. Hey, I believe Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. Power of the Holy Spirit working in me. I'm free. Everyone, every Christian can share that. And so I share that with Greg. I give this wagon to him. He immediately can share that. He immediately can share that message. He didn't even have to go to a class or anything. He immediately can share that message. See? And then he give that to Sophie. And Sophie, and then she's telling Greg, where have you been all this time? I knew this. No, she didn't say that. No. But immediately, Sophie can share that. The point of it is, that's the full counsel of God. That's how Christianity spreads. That's how it spreads through power, through individuals. And that's to be innocent of blood. Innocent of the blood. And everyone, not everyone can do it. Everyone is supposed to do it. And that's what we're going to see here. You're supposed. supposed to do that. This is the way it's supposed to be. This isn't unusual. This is the way it's supposed to be. Oh, by the way, the Lord calls this evangelism. He calls it evangelism. We're going to call it give somebody the wagon. But God calls it evangelism. Now, and what I share on evangelism, and it's always, I think, for me, I guess I just should make it personal. Two things I don't like to preach on. And I get, every time I say this, I get flack for saying it. But anyway, you need to be honest. I despise preaching on giving. I just do. I just feel like you're sitting there thinking, I'm trying to get my hand into your pocket. You know, that, and I just don't like it. Of course, the full counsel of God is, no, this is, there's a blessing when people give. You give, and I give you abundantly. Now, that's right, God, you tell them, you know. Anyway, but the other one I don't like to speak on is evangelism. Now, one of the reasons to evangelize, because I'm not an evangelist by heart, and then two, when you tell other people to be evangelists, 95% of the people are not evangelists. So I don't like to say it. They don't like to hear it. So who wants to talk about it? You know, except God says, no, this is the center of who I am. Oh, God. He says, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Lord, let me just hang out with some. I don't want to be fishers of men. You know, they're not biting. You get them. They're hard to get off the hook. And then they don't want to come. They get away. They stink. I'm not. Anyway, but so it's very clear that the Lord's commission to us is to share with other people. That's why we're here, is to share with other people, period. All right? So two of the most tremendous blessings in the body of Christ I don't like to preach about. That's terrible. So I'm going to share, be obedient to the Lord and share here. Now, what's interesting that even makes it more convicting is that the basics of sharing one's faith is given by Jesus. You know, I mean, if somebody else told me, well, they don't know what they're talking about. They got that gift, and who knows, and I'm not like them, and, you know, the any kind of rationale. But Jesus, you know, this is who I am, and I've given you authority, and this is what you are supposed to be. This is what you are supposed to be. So that's what, let's look at what Jesus says about evangelism. What he says, what comes out of his lips. Nothing has changed from what he says. And he came on the world to change the world and has done a pretty good job, okay? The only question I have about how he's changing the world is he picked us to continue to change it. Like he thinks we can do this. He thinks we can pull this off. And this is how he tells us to do it. So let's listen closely to what God says, what Jesus says about evangelism, sharing our faith. And here, I believe, is the number one thing through Scripture that Jesus says about evangelism. And it's relationship evangelism. Relationship evangelism. It's the number one thing about evangelism. Let's look at Matthew 9. Matthew 9, 10 through 12. By the way, there's lots of verses you can go to, but this one's just especially good. Jesus, and as Jesus reclined at the table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees, this is the religious folk, this is the religious folk, anybody there, the religious folk, okay? And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? And when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come? To get in our Lexus with leather seats and the GPS and the video for the kids with no wheels? That's not where he is. That's not where he is. He's eating with the people. He's eating with the sinners. And when you look at how they, what they classify Jesus, they say, they call him a wine bibber, wino, and glutton, you know, and he eats with sinners. Well, that was not very nice, but that's what they called him because that's what he did. See, now, so the purpose is, so when you look at this, what we look at, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to eat with those people outside the body of Christ. Outside. We are here to eat and have relationship with those outside the body of Christ. That is our purpose here. And it's really easy what he's saying here. Now, we use this comment, you know, I feel like the Lord showed me this word a long time ago. It's easy, easy. And all that means is it's just easy to do what Jesus said in this case. It is easy to go over to somebody's house and have dinner with them. That is easy to do. It's easy to sit down and have dinner and talk. And that's what Jesus did. He went and had dinner with these folks. All right? And that's what he's telling you to go have dinner with them or whatever, you know, they like to do. Go and have dinner with them. Have fun. It's a novel of thought. Have fun. Ask questions and get to know someone. Hey, tell me about your life. Where do you work? How were you raised? Where did you go to church? Versus, you sinner. You know, repent. You know. At least give them time enough to tell you something they should repent of. You know, the thing. No, I want to know about you. I care about you. Tell me about your life. Tell me about how you came up through life. And all of a sudden, you know, you make a heart connection with them, and they make a heart connection with you. That's relationship evangelism. Here's a statistic. You look at Google this. Google it, and you're going to find 85% of all Christians, 85% of all Christians come to know Christ. 85% come to know Christ through family and friends. 85. Now, how are we going to do this? What program can we establish? Have dinner with somebody. Just have a dinner. Ask about them. Ask about them. Relate with them. But they're a sinner. You know. When they say poop, I can smell it. Here we go. Now, I just make a point. You know. Have dinner with them. Have dinner with them. The whole thing, this is what the Lord said. And Jesus says, this is your assignment. You're supposed to do this. It's not even an option. It is not an option. It is not an option. You know, just like mulching is not an option. This is not an option. This is not an option. Okay, then certainly you have that relationship. Now what we do, we have this wagon, all right? We have this wagon. And we have this thing in our back pocket, all right? And we're ready to give them this wagon. We're going to give them this wagon. But we're going to build a relationship with them. But we're always going to have that wagon ready to hand it over to them. Amen? So number one thing, without question across the board, 85%. By the way, 99% of the money is spent on the 15%. Christians have a real poor use of money, as much as they talk about it. 99% of all money is spent on the 15% to impact people. The 85%, you know, I mean, if you suck it up and pay for their dinner, you might even get a lot more interaction with them. You see what I'm saying? Amen there? So, okay, here we are. There it is. Now, let's recognize the truth here, okay? We're eating with someone. We're having dinner with someone. However, here's a however, and I'm speaking universally. Except maybe one or two people. I'm speaking to 99% of the people. We're having dinner. However, we're scared to death to say anything about Jesus. We're scared. We can't bring it up. You know, our tongue swells up. Our hands get sweaty. We got a knot in our stomach. And you pass the potatoes. And you just breaking out. And you go, I got how the Redskins doing? And we can't do it. It just can't do it. You know, and I thought about this. And I thought, well, what's the solution? And I've shared. I've heard people talk. And I've come up with this conclusion. There's no solution. You're going to be like that. You're not going to get over it. It's just not going to be. That's the way you're made. That's the way you're wired. You're going to go and have dinner. We're going to share Jesus. You're going to get in there. You're going to go, I ain't saying nothing. Not going to say anything. And you just can't get your mouth. You can't form the word. Jesse. No, I forget. You can't form the words. All right? Amen. You ever been there? You ever been there? You know? So, I have a solution. Since we're scared to death anyway, how about let's just go all out and make it totally supernatural? Amen? I mean, come on, we're scared. So, it's just going to kill us to say, to mention the word. Let's just make it supernatural. They may kick us out before dessert. Let's just go fully supernatural and be kicked out for a reason. Now, I'm being a little facetious, a little bit. But why don't we go supernatural? Now, what's interesting when I look at that, I think that's what Jesus had in his mind, that we go supernatural. See, us getting kicked out and other people offending other people, we conjure that up in our mind. See, because when we go into their house, Satan's sitting across the table and he's sitting beside us and everybody's saying, shut up. Don't mention Jesus, okay? So there's a demonic warfare going on every time we do this to keep us quiet. And so God just convinces us of our own fears so that we will not say anything. So we make it up in our mind. It's made up in our mind, okay? So let's say, no, let's just go supernatural. Let's do what Jesus said. Let's do what he said. He's the one that's... Jesus said, I have to eat dinner with these people. So let's do what he says when we eat dinner with these people. Now listen to this. He's talking to his disciples. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. Make you, like he's calling us. He's made it. I'm going to make you fishers of men. But then look at what he says in Acts 1 verse 8. In Acts 1 verse 8. This is fascinating. You know. He could have said, okay guys, we got the 12 together. Maybe there's 120 here. We do a big high five around there. Hit it and get it. All right. I am the Lord. You know. But this is what he said to him. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you will be my witnesses. See, we're supposed to show up to dinner with these folks with Jesus. We're supposed to show up to dinner with these folks, with the Holy Spirit, with the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we are in a wagon, if we're in a wagon with no wheels, and we go to dinner, there ain't no way we're going to share. It's just not going to happen. We have to have wagon. We have to have wheels on our wagon to have a capacity to share the way Jesus wants us to. But the point I want to show us here is Jesus knew that. Jesus knew if you don't have wheels on your wagon, you're not going to be able to pull this off. So it's important for us in the full counsel of God to know, hey, we got wheels on this wagon. Me and Jesus are going to dinner. Lordy be, all right? And so we're aware that if Jesus is coming to dinner, that there's something going to happen because Jesus is there. Let's just see what I mean? Let's make it supernatural. Let's just go supernatural on this. Totally supernatural. Because of me, I'm not saying nothing. And I'm getting sick of my stomach just thinking about it. Now let's just go supernatural and watch what Jesus does on this thing. Let's watch what happens. Okay, amen? That's what Jesus said. You guys can't do this. You will be my witnesses. When? When you receive the Holy Spirit. He says it. When you receive, I don't believe in this Holy Spirit stuff. You ain't talking to nobody either, are you? You see what I'm saying? It's just, come on. No. You'll be witnesses because you receive the Holy Spirit. Me and Jesus make a majority. And me alone is hopeless. Amen? Okay, so here we have. So here's one of the things. I want to cover two things that Jesus showed us supernaturally. Showed us supernaturally. Now, by the way, he's told us to do the one thing we can do. Now, we can do this and probably won't break out a sweat. Okay, hey, come over for dinner. Or if you just would cough up a couple of bucks, you might say, I'll buy your dinner. Cheapest people in the world are Christians. All right. See, I buy you dinner. I buy you dinner. See, you see what I'm saying? Because, hey, me and Jesus, we're looking. We're looking for something to happen here. Now, so here's the number one thing. Here's what Jesus is telling us. Again, I'm going to give you power, and you're going to be my witnesses. All right? What did Jesus do? Look at what Jesus did. Let's take an example. And here's the point. Prophetic evangelism. Prophetic evangelism. Now, what prophecy is the Holy Spirit will show you something, bring something to mind, and you say it. He brings something to mind that impacts and touches something else, somebody else that only he knows. And so you say that and communicate it to that other person. It's prophetic evangelism. Supernatural. God says, now that's what you're going to do, because people, I don't know about this Jesus stuff. This is a crazy stuff. I don't know. I think you're crazy. I think the people believe it's crazy. Jesus says, no, let me go. Prophetically, I'm going to speak and I'm going to say something, and it's going to touch. It's going to touch, and they're not going to be able to deny it. And then that is an open door. It's prophetic evangelism. You know, last night we saw that, and it wasn't evangelism, but we saw the prophetic working. And this is for everybody. And by the way, I believe this happens to people all the time. They just don't give God the credit. Happens all the time. Now, here it is. Here's how Jesus did it. He talks to this woman he's not supposed to talk to. It's a Samaritan. In fact, you're not supposed to talk to this woman. All right? So here he is talking to this woman he's not supposed to talk to again. And so he's having this conversation with her just about all sorts of fluff. Okay, give me a drink of water. Why are you talking to me? You're not supposed to ask for a drink of water. And he's going back and forth like that. Then he says this. Jesus said to her, this is John 4:16. Jesus said to her, before I finish that, I just want to make a comment here. We look at Jesus and we think, oh, wow, Jesus, he's showing us God. Wow. No, he's not. Jesus is showing us man. As man was supposed to be. I mean, we'll look at God. You can start in Genesis and you say, God created the heaven. Ooh, that's God. Oh, man, that's a big deal. God. Now, he was God, fully God. Jesus is fully God. But he came as fully God to show us where a man is supposed to behave. Jesus says, I only do what the Father tells me. Because that's what a man is supposed to do. He only does what the Father tells him. He was showing us what man was supposed to be. So when we look at this, and, oh, wow, Jesus did that. That's something. No, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we are supposed to do. Jesus said to her, go and call your husband and come here. Hey, we're having dinner. Give him a cup of water. How you doing? Good. You know, why are you talking? I don't know. Just go and call your husband. Have him come here. The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you're right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. Pass the salt. What you said is very true. The woman said to him, sir, I believe you're a prophet. Conversation changed. It changed. All of a sudden, sir, there's something different about you. This whole thing changed. Oh my God, I believe you are a prophet. Now, here's the thing. Jesus is much more than a prophet. She got it totally wrong. But that's okay. He changed the playing field. She was wrong, but Jesus used it as an opportunity. Jesus used it as an opportunity. And if you read the account, you will see it, to give her the wagon. Jesus gave her the wagon. He said, I'm the Messiah. In fact, she goes, he's the Messiah. And man, she is hitting it and getting it and telling all the folks in town, I saw the Messiah. He told him everything I did. I had 5 husbands. God, I'm living with. It's not my husband. Hallelujah. What a testimony. I mean, but you see what happened? The dynamic changed. It's a prophetic word. It's a prophetic word. That's the way we are supposed to behave. Go have dinner. Say, Lord, speak. Speak. We heard Sarah and Claire both say, you know, I have a word, and I think it doesn't mean anything. Didn't they both say that? It didn't mean. And then it was, no, I said it, and then it did mean something. How many times you have a word and you go, it doesn't mean it. I'm not saying it. See, Satan's deception is universal. Little ones to the big ones. See, God will give you a word and we'll go, no, kid. No. I mean, he gives us a word. We got to say it. What if we say something that's wrong? What about, you know, that? Well, I guess that's wrong. I don't know where that came from. You know, I just thought I had. But say something. You see what I'm saying? It's prophetic evangelism. Prophetic evangelism. And God says that's what we're supposed to do. So we go have dinner with somebody. It's like that. We've got the wagon in our hip pocket. But we're saying, Lord, I'm hearing. I'm paying attention. I'm hearing about their whole life. I'm hearing how they were raised. What happened with the kids? Where they work? How their families doing? I'm interested in all things about them. See, and then you're listening to that, and the Lord will be giving you certain things, how you can minister to them, to introduce them to Christ, and to give them solutions to their life. And first of all, is to give them the wagon, that they're even in the wagon. Prophetic event. Let's go supernatural, okay? You're not going to talk to these people. You're going to have dinner with them, and you're going to lump in your throat, and you can't say the word Jesus. So just go supernatural. Go super. Amen? That's what Jesus did. Now, here's another one. Here's it. Number three. I'm getting it down. I've shared the other week, people telling me, says, you know, Wallace, you go past 3 points, you lose me. You know, and so I've cut down from 26 and trying to keep 3. I got 4 this time. Okay, 4 points. First one's relationship evangelism. Second is prophetic evangelism. Those prophetic events, those are those words, those thoughts that come to your mind. They sound just like your thoughts, but you know it's a little different. And you speak forth those as a question, and you interact with people. And you're hearing what Jesus has to say. Before I go on, I was reading the magazine, and God was talking. He was talking about this subject, actually. And he said he was sharing with this person, this woman, he and his daughter, I think it was. And she said, would have nothing to do with it. This is a true story. Would have nothing to do with it. And so it's like, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any of that stuff. I said, okay. He said, well, we don't want to be offensive or anything. But anyway, could I leave something with you? He said, sure, that's fine. And says he's handed her address or something. He started to walk off, and the Holy Spirit said to him, tell her she's a good mother. And he said, well, all right. And he said, I just want to let you know, the Lord says, you are a good mother. Absolutely broke down and cried because of that morning, the absolutely explosion that she had with her daughter. And he said, no, you are. God says, you are a good mother. Everything, the walls came down. And he was able to minister to Jesus. It's prophetic evangelism. Should happen all of the time. God forbid that you'd have to have dinner with these people twice to have this happen. You see what I'm saying? God, we're in this for the long haul. We're hearing. We're moving forward. And then you'd be able to share the wagon with them. Okay, here's the other one. Power evangelism. And I could put here healing evangelism. Healing. The person, the first time I ever saw this, I thought he's absolutely nuts, and it was from John Wimber. And he would call it power evangelism. It's healing evangelism. Now, I've totally repented of that. Lord. And I can see that the truth and how God uses healing evangelism and how he wants to use the people within his body. And here again, we have Jesus showing us. Okay, Jesus is showing. Now, what is Jesus showing us? Is he showing us God? Or is he showing us man? He's showing us man. Did we need to see Jesus to know that God heals? He healed all through the Old Testament. We knew that, you know. But what it was, Jesus came and he's showing us man that there's a different realm in which he's going to work. Is he speaks to it. He does nothing unless the Lord tells him to. So he wasn't like, you know, Merlin the magician going in a zap, zap, zap. God was directing him and teaching him, and he would walk in situations very targeted to communicate what God had to say. Healing's the same way. Now here we have power evangelism. Look at how Jesus handled this. And I'm just going to read one verse, this whole account here. You can look it up. Luke 5, verse 24. Luke 5, verse 24. But that you may know. Now look at that. But that you may know. How about I slap you silly and you know I'm Jesus. You know, no, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise up, pick up your mat, go home. They go, oh my God, this is Jesus. Oh, the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Do you remember in the Gospel of John, we're reading that? He says, what you forgive will be forgiven. He's talking to the disciples. See, he said, no, this is how you guys are going to work. This may be one of the most powerful avenues we have that the Holy Spirit will use to break down barriers. You, we look at somebody, and we did, I mean, last night, last night, two stage four cancers and a blind boy. It's like, okay, Lord, you know, that's kind of starting out heavy. You know, I thought maybe we get together and, you know, pray for somebody's hangnails. And, you know, but it's like, Lord, it's serious. This is serious. And all of a sudden, yeah, it's serious. But I'm God, and I'm moving in this, and it's powerful, and it's powerful. And so what we see here, we look at situations like this, and we go, this is the most terrible situation in the world. God, I don't know, why'd you let this happen? And we can't answer all those questions, but the one thing we do know, I have you here because I want you to say something. You're going to introduce Jesus into this. Their misery, you're going to introduce light into. Whatever going on, you are a messenger of light. Right here, this is your opportunity. We don't know what's going on, but this is our opportunity to pray and see light come into this situation and give it to the Lord. And everybody last night was encouraged because we asked him. God spoke, ministered, heard him. Hallelujah. So we introduce Christ into every situation. And two, we pray. We say, God, this is, oh my God, this is bigger. This is, I can't put my hands around this. This is so difficult. And we say, Lord, I need a word. It's nothing like getting a word when you need a word. Like, oh God, I need a word. Oh God, this hurt. I need a word. And then you minister Christ. He give you a word to minister Christ. Hey, God's all over this. God's all over this. Now, so this is what Jesus is saying. But we minister a word and we introduce them to Jesus. We pray for their healing, everything that God says. And we just get in the wagon. Lord, Lord, this is bigger than me. All I can do is give them the, but I can give them the wagon. I can do this. I can do this. And all of a sudden, because it's bigger than me, I want to do this. Oh my God, here's the way. Here's the way. So hallelujah, we have that. Now, here's the fourth one. Here's the fourth one. Just put, it's shine and be innocent. Shine and be innocent. It's a summary of the whole thing. Give them the wagon. Give them the wagon. Now, I don't want to scare anybody, and I don't want to be not too much conviction to anybody. But it's kind of like, say, you know, people are going to die, and it says you will not be innocent of their blood, and you're not going to be innocent of their blood because you didn't give them the wagon. It's like, I mean, it's like he says, God says, I'm going to hold you accountable. You didn't tell them. I put you there, and you did not tell them. I'm going to hold you accountable. It's what it sounds like to me. There's a couple of people in my life where I had could have shared the gospel, and I didn't. It bothers me to this day. I just didn't do it. Why? You hung in my throat, and they think I'm crazy, and I'll feel bad, and so that I won't feel bad, I would rather them be doomed to hell. But I'll feel better. You know, and I had, and it's like, oh God, I'm sure God, I'm praying God had someone else come and share the gospel with them. I said, Lord, please. I mean, he used a donkey one time. It wasn't working with me. He had a donkey. Maybe a donkey shared with him, you know, because I didn't. Because I didn't do that. But again, what are we sharing? We're sharing the wagon. John 3:16 carries more meaning now. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's what we're sharing. Well, what about this? God knows, I don't know. Here's the wagon. Get in the wagon, put the wheels on, you're free, now you figure it out. Amen? We aren't that smart. Just want to let you know. We are not that smart. But we got the wagon, and we can give that to them. Now, so we have a wagon overhead up here, okay? The wagon, all right? Full counsel of God, so we'll be innocent of everybody's blood. I think that it was there. Why did Paul say it? Why did Paul say it? I want to just give a quick summary. Just a quick summary right here. Steps to be innocent of everyone's blood. Steps to be innocent of everyone's blood, given the full counsel of God. Here they are. Four. Relationships that lead to giving to the wagon. I ain't talking to nobody. I ain't eating with nobody. I sure ain't buying their bill. Fine, you know. But God says, no, that's your assignment. Relationships. And it leads to giving people the wagon. Number two, prophetic. That leads giving people the wagon. Now, don't put this prophetic up too high. Prophetic can be so much like, hey, you know, something keep coming back. You're just a good mom. See, how many times you've met people? You know, I bet they're a good, you know, I bet the Lord, you know, just tell them. Because the Lord is moving to break through and punch a button within those people, and it will stir. And he is going to, if Jesus doesn't bring someone to know the Lord, they will not ever come to know the Lord. Okay, somebody says, you're stupid, I ain't ever talking to you again. You go, well, God didn't pick him, evidently. His law's not mine, right? The point of it is, it's you moving because it's God is the one who touches and saves people. But he uses us to say a word. For he has us as this weak link in the chain to say a word of the people he touches. It's just the way he works. All through history, that's the way he works. So don't lift the prophetic too high and to say that, oh, I can't do it. In fact, I would even probably, if we sit down and talk, that he's done it to every one of you already. You just haven't obeyed or thought, that's silly. Sarah and Claire here, that's silly. That wouldn't mean anything. And it meant everything. Just the word, it meant everything. See? Same thing. Healing leads people to give them the wagon. How many times you look at it and said, oh my God, this is, oh Lord, I don't even know why I'm here. You're here to bring Jesus into it, to pray for them, and hand them the wagon. Hand them the wagon. The only difference in their life is going to be if they have the wagon. All right? Shine, number four. Shine to be innocent, the blood of all. Give people the wagon. Their wheels on the wagon. Amen? Amen. Have the team come up and we'll sing some praise songs. I want to share a couple of things with you. And I just want to share this with you. And this is kind of a family sharing. Because this is just, it's interesting to me. But it's like, I wouldn't change, and this is, I don't know of any pastor, and I've talked to pastors, I think this is unusual. I wouldn't change one single thing about Broadlands Community Church. Nothing. I mean, I like y'all. I really do. I mean, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy talking to you. I love where we are doctrinally, you know, I love where we are spiritually. I love where we are relationally. I mean, I really do. It really is just a joy to me. But there is one little black cloud that it's just like, it's got two fangs on it. Just, and it's there. It just follows me around. It's just like a gnat, all right? And I want to show you what that is. As it drives me crazy. You know, on pins and needles, what that is? We don't grow. We don't grow. I don't understand that. I mean, I don't understand. I'm so pleased. Last night, I'm looking, my God, what went on last night? It's just sweet. You know, and I see the power and these ladies sharing. And where we are, and just the power unfolding. And it's like, we don't grow. And the only thing I look at, and I said, well, and I asked the Lord, and I take it very, very personal, you know. What am I saying? Not saying. And it's, but I think, you know, this is a family, and I want to share the pain. It's like, you know, I mean, to grow, we share the wagon with our family and friends and neighbors. If everybody shared the wagon with their family, friends, and neighbors, next week, we would double. I mean, theoretically, you see what I'm saying? I mean, I teach Alpha. The only reason I taught Alpha and teach Alpha because it reaches out to the lost population or people just coming. That's the only reason. I said, okay, Lord, maybe you want me to teach Alpha. But so I give that to you. I'm excited about Broadlands Community Church. Are you? Are you excited about it? Look at the front of your bulletin. I love that, Tom. I always like come in. First thing I like to do when I come and look at the bulletin, because I give Tom the title of the message, and he puts something on the front. And so I will always look to see what it is, because he has the neat things. But look what he put on the front. Look what he put on the front. See, and that's what it, you light a match, and it explodes like that. And then you let it on another match, and another match explodes. That's what happens. You give somebody the wax, it blows, you know. Well, I like we said, but I won't go X, Y, to Z church, and they don't have any wheels on their wagon. And I won't go to this one church, they don't even have a wagon, you know. Okay, now give them a wagon. If there's excitement and power in our life, people should be drawn to that excitement and power. Because if the Lord says, no, this is exactly where I was. I'm excited. I said, Jesus, I'm excited. And you know, sweating that. That driving me crazy. Now, so you just know my heart. So, amen? Amen? We need to share the wagon. We need to share the wagon. We have it. Yeah. By the way, our wagon has wheels on it. That's the key. Our wagon has wheels on it. So, let's stand up and praise the Lord. After the message, we'll have our prophetic team to come down and pray over folks. They come down. And let's just praise Jesus. Amen.